All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about why we got into tournaments, kind of the what happened in our lives that made us get into tournaments.
Or how we got into tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now we've
What happened, I was born.
Yes, yeah, I was born tournament.
I strapped down a rod.
So we've done like tournament fishing podcasts before, but this is how we got into it. So started years ago, you know. So we will talk about things that, why we got into it and what's made us successful and why we have so much fun doing it.
Yeah, I think so. And so if you guys, we'll have, let's let Mitchell go first. Tell us when, how old, and I want to hear this stuff.
No.
I was in the womb and my mom, you know.
No, I think I was 7 with my little buddies.
Yeah.
And it's, who's going to catch the most?
Yeah. No. That's competition.
There's something inside of all of us, and it starts when you're 6 or 7.
Well, there's always competition. I mean, it was, you know, that drive to be competitive. But I mean, like, when did you actually step into a boat, pay an entry fee, and start going? Or being a Minnesota boy, when did you step onto the ice, pay an entry fee,
no,
and start going?
So here's the deal. It really did start one night when I met Brad. So we'll back up before the tournament, but it was a party, and we started talking like, yeah, I like to hunt and fish. He goes, oh, yeah, well, I like to hunt and fish. What do you like to fish for? I like to fish for walleyes. Really? I like to fish for walleyes.
Yeah, that's what year was that?
Like 99.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what is that, 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's good
20,
math.
20 years. Not bad.
Good job.
Whew, thank God it's 2019 right now.
You'd have been screwed. If it was 21, you'd be like,
help me out here, guys. Help me out.
One, move it over.
Carry the one.
He's like, I don't even remember.
Anyway.
But no, and so it was pretty cool. It was like we became best friends that day. Yeah. And so later that winter, he's like, hey, dude, so I used to fish these tournaments in Nebraska, do pretty good. They've got, you know, the Colorado Walleye Association.
Right.
They've got walleye tournaments here. What do you think? Let's do it. And I was like, I'm down.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going into a clueless, but fishing's fishing, right?
Yeah. So were you eyeing each other up? Or you're like, let's see if this turkey can even.
Oh no, that happened that very first night.
That was the first night, and then we went out on the water and fished a lot together.
Yeah,
yeah. I knew he wasn't bullshitting.
Yeah,
you could, you know, how you can tell.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a big thing, right? Yeah. Everybody's a great fisherman standing there with a beer.
Yeah. You know, I could tell right out just by our conversation that he knows how to hold a spinning rod.
Yeah, wow, geez, right.
It's not upside down.
I got that one. It's got, you know, it's closed on the top. It's got the little hole. You're like, yeah, have a nice day, dude.
Anyway, so we did. We had the CWA, the Colorado Walleye Association, but we fished one just before that because it was the first one that came available.
Yep.
We were itching to go. It didn't matter what it was.
Right.
We were going fishing.
Right. Yeah. So was that the first – what was the first tournament?
That was my first tournament. It was down at Pueblo, Fish on Fire, and it's multi-species, which, you know, Brad and I, we're the walleye pros back in the day. So we're like wipers, trout, catfish. We don't know how to catch those. I mean
– Or that we can, but nah, that's not fun.
No, we're walleye. They're like, screw it, let's get some walleyes. Well,
right.
And we did. We caught our 5 keepers. So,
which is a feat.
So we rolled in, you know, chest pumped out, and on our 14-foot Greenpeace aluminum boat, with a 10-horse Honda on the back,
right?
And with our basket, you know, feeling pretty good until we pulled up to the docks, and these guys were pulling out their nets full of 15-pound wipers. I was like, hey.
We ended with 12 pounds. That fish beat us. That one fish.
Yeah. Yeah. So no check that day.
No, so, I know. Right after we left, we're like, we got to start fishing wiper. And we did.
We went out and
fished wiper at night. Tried to figure these fish out while they were schooling, you know, because they
boil
these
the water down.
It's awesome. So we heard, let's go do that. Which, why would we do that in the middle of the night trying to learn how to fish wiper during the day?
On a lake we've never been on.
I know. We end up spending the whole night out there. Both of us fell asleep, woke up like 4 in the morning, freezing.
Drifting.
That's what we're doing. We're like, oh my God. Could have been we had one too many beers.
Yeah.
We actually threw the anchor out because we're like, let's just jig for a minute. Jig.
But anyway, we digress.
Good times though, yeah. And it was that competition.
Yeah,
it's all like I was just telling you guys. For me, one of the big things is it evens the playing field. You know, right. Everybody can go out and catch a nice pile of fish and
right.
You know, the bite's just right at dusk in their spot, or catch a giant, you know, here and there. But when in a tournament, it doesn't matter what the weather is. It right. Doesn't matter what the lake is. It's the same for every boat that's in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I love that aspect of it.
It can be 106 out, or it can be snowing.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had both. How about you, Brad?
Well, I started off tournament fishing with the first tournament fishing that I ever did when I was 15. When we lived on a lake in Nebraska, they had we lived on a private lake, and they had a local tournament. It was just an entry fee. It was $10 entry, solo, two-hour tournament.
Yeah.
That was it. And it was private, so they said it was largemouth bass because that's all they had there. It was any bass that you catch, you keep, and they have to be alive, and we're releasing them.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, $10. You know, I'm 15. I got my dad's boat. I'm all out there by myself. I went out there, and I was casting this one rock point that I used to cast all the time with a Bill's worm. And I caught, I don't remember if it was 15 or 18 bass off this one point, anywhere from 12 inches to 17. They were nice bass. Mm-hmm. I'm loading up my cooler. I mean, loading up the live wall. You can't have that many possession limit. What were they even thinking having this? But whatever, I didn't know I was 15. So I came in, one guy had two, another guy had one, and I had 15. They're like, jeez. So I won the $100.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I was like, I like this. This is awesome.
This is the best ever.
So I started fishing different bass tournaments because I had my dad's boat. And then I started fishing some catfish tournaments overnight, which I got smoked at. There is definitely a technique to catching a lot of catfish overnight. And I caught some, but these guys were catching mammoths.
Yeah.
And then it turned into walleye fishing with a buddy of mine that lived in northeast Nebraska. He wanted me to go fishing with him because one of his guys bailed out. So I said, sure, let's go.
Yeah.
So we went out down to Branched Oak, ended up doing pretty good in that tournament. And I was like, this is easy. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I did a handful with him. And
this
and
got, is easy. I got,
no problem.
Because the first one I win, I mean, it's a small tournament. Yeah. But I was like, this is nothing. Took second place the first tournament I fished in a walleye tournament. I'm like,
just went out and fished.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to change career paths when I was 20 at that
time.
Yeah,
right.
I think I'm going to be a pro fisherman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then reality set in, and we didn't do so well later on. But anyway, so I did that for a few years, then moved to Colorado and met Mitch, and then we started fishing tournaments, and I don't even know how many we've done.
So how long did it take you guys to get traction before you really started to not only pick one up here or there, a win or top 10, but how long before you started to be consistent?
I'd say 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 4 or 5. It was a while.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I remember those early days too. Like, you know, fishing our tails off.
Yeah.
Probably not knowing what we were doing, but we're working hard and getting frustrated because we weren't getting any or whatever, this and that. And
we're not getting the right slot limit.
Like, oh, man, this no one's going to catch any fish.
Yeah.
And we roll in there and basket after basket, it's like, what in the world are we doing wrong?
Yeah, that's the one thing I learned is I'll never forget, you know, you're sitting out there and like you said, you're working hard and you're thinking, listen, if I'm not catching fish, nobody's catching fish. I mean,
right,
that's
exactly.
Just the way it is, right? It's just, I mean, I can catch fish as good as anybody else.
Wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Like you said, you roll in with a big old fat zero and they're like, oh, we got our 5 by 8:15. And I'm thinking, I will sink that boat. I will run broadside into that piece of shit.
But
and
what
I
it
will
did,
sink you.
What it did, that's what's good about not having, I mean, the first couple tournaments I had early success, I took it for granted. Then it was years before we had success. And what it was is it forces you to learn how to fish.
Yeah. Well, how to fish different places, too.
Well, yeah, but I knew how to do a couple things, doing pretty well. But
right.
After 4 or 5 years, you learn how to troll, long line, boards, lead, how to jig, how to do snap weights. You mean you learn so much because that's what those guys were doing. And that's why they were successful because they had a larger arsenal just being out on the water. They figured out how to catch fish when they're not biting a certain way.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, I can't imagine all my techniques I would have under my belt and be pretty good at if we didn't fish tournaments. I'd probably be a good Lindy rigger and slip bobbers. And I can cast crankbaits like to better than anybody.
Right. Yeah.
But that's all I would know how to do because it all has come from tournament fishing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It really has.
Yeah.
You, how about you?
So when I was, it was probably 99, somewhere right around then, I just graduated college and got my first real job. You know, I mean, not my first real job. I mean, my first full-time salary, here you go job.
Yeah. Career job.
Yeah, career job. And one of my bosses was a PWT RCL pro. And so that was back in the day when, he was going fishing all over the Midwest and those were the two big circuits and it was all run through, Ranger Crest, Crestliner Lund, you know, RCL or the PWT where you had to apply to get in or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he was a pro and I had told some of the guys I worked with, and he was one of the bosses, so I didn't see him. I didn't know who he was. I, you know, no idea. And I told some of the guys I worked with that, hey, I was, you know, with that, I love to walleye fish and, you know, someday I'll get a boat and, you know, because I'd always fish from shore or a float tube. And they were like, well, you know, Gary, he's a pro. And I was like, what's a pro? You know, I ain't seen this dude on TV. And remember, I grew up with no cable TV. So I grew up where I had three stations and I saw a fishing show like once every 3 months. They would come on as like on the PBS station or something, right? And so I'm laughing because I was like whatever, it's Colorado, there's no pros, they're all in Michigan or whatever. And so I always laughed. And so I go up to his office, and when I walk in his office, he's got trophies for winning. And I don't remember if they were first place, but they were, you know, top five, top 10, those kind of nice choices.
Just to get in top 10.
Nationwide tournaments, you know.
But any of them, it is good. If you get in the top 10, you're doing well.
It's all relative. It really is. Yeah.
And so right away, we were doing kind of like what you guys were talking about, right? Like I sit down and I've got about 5 or 10 minutes before I have to go and we start eyeing each other up, right? So you walleye fish. Yeah, he goes, I heard about you. When are you going to come in and talk to me? And I said, I heard about you too. So, you know, what do you use? What kind of knot do you use? You ever do this? Where do you fish? You know, what do you, you know? So after about 10 minutes of filling each other out, it was like, well, we ought to go sometime. And so that was kind of the open door, right? And that was my my first induction into, maybe fishing is something bigger.
Which got you all, got you thinking, then you end up getting a boat.
Yeah, so then I go and I get a boat and I get I buy this 17 and a half foot aluminum Ranger and it was the greatest boat I'd ever seen. Had it was only about a year old, year and a half old when I got it. It was a guy that was buying his pro staff boat and he needed to sell his. So he was going to give me this great deal. I spent way too much money on it. I mean, it was a great deal, but way too much money than I had. And I went and got a loan, which was only the second loan I'd ever gotten in my life. And I was like, you know, I'm getting this boat. Like, this has always been my dream. Had an electric motor on the front.
Oh, my God.
Two fish finders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, were you married then?
We were getting married, or we just got married. Yeah, no kids, though. That's why. And so that was the catalyst for being able to get it. But get this boat, had a 115 Merc on it, and it looked like the biggest, baddest mother I'd ever seen in my life, right? Had a kicker motor, which I didn't even know it was for. I thought it was a backup.
What do you use this little guy for?
What's this little thing for?
Use it in case it breaks down.
Wow, you guys got a lot of confidence in this Mercury. So,
the little guy comes with every big guy you buy.
Every big guy gets a little guy. So,
just his friend.
So he told me about, you know, we trolled, but it was never anything like, you know, what you do with line counters, all that. It was, you know, you cast out behind you and pull it behind you with your spinning rod, right? So I had two rods. I had probably six different colors of jigs, probably four a piece, just in case I lost some. A few bottom bouncing spinners types things, and that was it. And some crankbaits, you know, for casting at night off the shore. That was my entire arsenal of walleye fishing at that point. I had narrowed it down so I could fit it all in my float tube. So he told me about CWA and you guys should, you know, you should really do this. I had to find a partner, so I asked my dad, if you guys have ever seen my dad on a boat, which you two can attest to, he's not a boat guy. Yeah. I mean,
it's the best thing ever.
It's one of the coolest things.
Year after
things
year,
ever.
We're like, I can't wait to see Kurt. Because it's going to be terrible. Like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
It's going to be the first day over.
He stumbles, and he is just not a boat guy. Like, he's not one of those guys where... and he's not really good with the trailer either, so I had to pick the lesser of two evils. So when he drops me off at the ramp, you know, he swings it around. It takes him 100 years to back me in. Mm-hmm. Finally gets me in, and then, you know, I'm off and going because there's no way he could start the motor. I mean, oh, God. So he goes up and he parks, and I just pray he doesn't hit anybody with the trailer. And so, you know, I mean, it was that kind of thing. But, you know, so we started to fish, and same deal. First tournament, we fished one tournament at our home lake. And I didn't have, you know, I didn't know how to troll. I didn't have anything. I just had jigging. We're going to go jig because that's what we do. And five fish. Are you kidding me? I catch five fish 8 minutes down there. I mean, I grew up there. Caught two fish the whole weekend. It was early spring. I had no idea how to fish early spring. I never did. I was too busy, you know, doing sports or something. And caught just two fish, one each day. Ended up getting like top 20. Thought, this isn't too bad, you know, not bad. Out of like, I don't know, I think
there's
it was like
21 teams.
Boats. Yeah. No, that was back in the day when they used to get a lot. So it was like 55, 60 boats. You know what I mean? There were a lot. And a lot of guys caught zero. And I thought, zero? What are you kidding me? Yeah. Right. It took a while for us to even sniff the top 20 again. I mean, many tournaments we were near the bottom.
And it's because. It's because you knew how to fish, but only a few different ways.
Yeah, and I knew
so that's what tournament fishing
really does. And I knew
how to
fish that lake. I mean, it was easy for us to go. I had a handful of spots, all of which were from shore, so I had to convert them into, you know, how to fish them from a boat.
Sure.
And I mean, it was, and at that point, I lived 3 hours away. So it was a three-hour pull just to get down to my home lake.
Yeah.
So it was not a, you know, it wasn't an easy little, let's go this weekend kind of thing. So yeah. I fished it twice, three times a year, maybe. So I'd never been on the lake in that boat. I mean, I'd been with growing up. I had a buddy of mine that used to take me out on his boat every once in a while, but
totally
not
different.
Like this. Yeah, not totally like different. Not to this degree and this level. So it took a couple years, and I think we finally, the first time we got in the top one, we got second, maybe a couple years later, and that was a big deal. I mean,
it is a big deal still now.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
it was, but that was like, woo, you know, let's like this every year we're going to come down here and we're going to at least get second, at least, you know, jeez. Nothing frustrated me more than going down to my home lake and getting
blanked.
20th, 31st. I was like, are you kidding me? What is wrong with me?
But so, but over time you've gotten numb to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's used to it now.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Top 30
is not bad.
Josh,
top 40 is not bad.
Josh's dad won Don of Pueblo with a giant 1 year. Yeah. And that was pretty awesome.
Well, it was my brother.
Oh, yeah. That was Jeremy.
Yeah,
that's right.
My little brother and I. Yeah, we fished and we got a... No, we've won a couple times down there. I've won down there with Dan. And, yeah, we've done pretty well. And then I haven't fished it in probably 7 or 8 years. So
it got us into it. And now we're still doing it. It's made us better fishermen. And it's an excuse to get on the water.
But it's always,
too.
You guys notice, it's always somebody, right? I mean, it's always somebody passing it on. So it was, you know, Gary Darling and Dan Swanson for me. They kind of both took me under their wing and showed me how to do things, gave me a list of things to go buy when I could afford them. This is more important than that. And it was like, all right, let's go. And then I would fish, you know, with Gary, I would fish maybe a tournament a year. He'd fish one local tournament or two just to, you know, kind of fill in the time between RCL or PWT events. And, you know, I'd go fish that with him because the hardest part's always finding a partner, right? And somebody that's competent. And, you know, I mean, look at Brad. I mean, dude, it's terrible. You
got
to
I got Mitch.
Mitch. I know. And it's just.
Yeah, but I'm getting better.
You are.
He has his strengths, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean.
He's good at netting. He's really good at netting.
And he pulls that anchor up like nobody you've ever seen.
I am telling you. Good job, Mitch.
Yeah, nice work.
Thank you. Charges the batteries great at night.
Wow.
I know.
That must be new this year.
Yeah, it started last year. Yeah, I didn't tell you.
No. All right.
I'm kind of like the old lineman of the team, you know? It's
like... Not even the center. He's like left guard.
Yeah, exactly.
So get out on the water, fish in tournaments. Don't be intimidated. I think that's what the big thing is it's intimidating, right? But it's really, really going to make you a better fisherman because it forces you to learn other things.
Totally. Well, I'll tell you what, before we wrap it up, let's go over the one thing that you would pass on to anybody thinking about fishing tournaments. What's the one thing that you've learned or the most important thing to you about fishing a tournament? Josh, what do you got?
I think my biggest thing I would tell people before they go is don't be afraid. I think the biggest thing is throw yourself into it 100%. We do a lot of corresponding with a lot of you guys out there from all over the place. I mean, all over Australia, and they ask us about tournaments. That's what led to this podcast, right? And you know, I think the biggest thing is just go do it. You have to not be scared. You may not have the biggest boat. You may not have the fastest boat. You may not have all the toys everyone has, right? But what you do have is your knowledge, your willingness to do it, and the God-given, you know, ability to go out there and do it. Go do it. I mean, it's that's the thing is, you know, my boat, my first boat was the greatest thing to me, but it only had a 115. I mean,
mine was a 10.
Yeah. I mean, it was, horse. If I was lucky, if I hit 32 miles an hour going down the lake and that was smoking, that was trimmed up, my dad not eating a lot the night before, you know, I mean, it was, but I mean, that was the big deal, right? And so, you know, if you can afford a boat and you can get out there to do it, it doesn't matter what it looks like, whatever. No. Everybody's got a chance. And that's the thing is everybody's got a chance. I remember hearing, you know, guys would say, well, if I had a boat like that, you know, I could crisscross this like 50 times like you do and I'd have a better shot.
Now, that is an advantage because you can go spot to spot.
And it can be an advantage.
But if you have a smaller boat, if you fish the spots that you know you can get to and you fish them hard and fish them well,
and you know,
can be successful.
Yeah, exactly.
You can be successful.
And granted, like you get to the Great Lakes or the Devil's Lakes or the bigger lakes. Yes, you have to have the bigger boat with the bigger motor.
Safety.
Well, not only, safety. I mean, we've learned
that. Range.
But range. I mean, yes. You have to be able to go 60, 70, 80 miles one way to get where you need to go, and it can't take you all day to do it. So, I mean, I completely get that. And I completely get.
But some of your smaller lakes, just your normal lakes, you can fish them out of a small boat.
And you can be a rock star. Yeah. You can be a rock star in your local tournament and watch all these big boats fly by you, and you get there when you get there, and you just hammer them.
Well, that's a great point. I think that because you brought that up, I think one of the biggest things that guys need to do when they're going to go out and tournament fishing is I think the pre-fish day, the day before the tournament, is huge because – yeah, I fished the lake last week and we were killing them. A lot changes in a week. Get out there, figure out what's going on the day before the tournament. If you have the ability to get out, your tournament's Saturday, Sunday, fish it Friday if you can.
Yeah,
or Thursday.
At the minimum.
I mean, I'm just talking. Yeah. You have to. I really feel that that's been a key to our success is we've really focused on trying to get a couple days of pre-fishing because you're learning that pattern right now.
Well, it may be a brand new lake. I mean, it may be a lake that you've never even.
We do that a lot. We fish on lakes.
That's the most fun for
that
me.
That is awesome. When you first come over the hill and you're looking down, you're like, look at this body of water.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah. Right, yeah. So you would say learning to be prepared.
Yep.
Okay. Mitchell?
Mine is taking advantage of every opportunity. Yeah. I, you know, looking back on our tournament fish over the years, I mean, I don't know how many fish we've missed, you know, jigging
right,
or whatnot.
Right.
Or we've got a 4-pounder on next to the boat and poof, you know,
comes
let it get
button.
Slack, comes on button right in front of you and you want to cry. But that's the key. How many times were those great fish that you missed? And that could have just, you know, sent you over the top in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I always focus on. It was like, the opportunities are going to come. It's just now it's up to each one of us to make it count.
Yep. Well, we could talk about this forever. I mean,
yeah, maybe this will be tournament fishing one. Like, why we do tournaments like the beginning, I think there's a lot more to go into. I mean, I think we can explore so many different facets. But for us, you know, let's say this is our first one because we've got all winter to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is how we kind of got started. This is how we figured out that this is something we like to do. And, you know, kind of we can talk about some of the growing pains maybe on the next one. I think that would be an important one.
Oh,
for
growing pains, yeah, because I have plenty.
Yeah, I mean,
Mitch has a ton.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Junior, we're going to have to get you a book.
Yeah, I know. We're going to fill it out. Well, I can tell you, I do remember, you guys will remember this, day two, towing you guys in because you couldn't get the motor to get going. So there's all those stories.
That's happened twice. Yeah. You weren't there on the other tournament. And it was a night tournament. We're like, oh, boy. Now I found out what that kicker motor's for.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm like, this thing is the best thing
ever.
It
is a backup.
It was a backup. Well, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks for following us and sharing us and just all the support you guys have, sending us emails all the time.
I love seeing the feedback.
It takes us a while to get back.
And all the interaction on social media.
We've gotten a lot bigger than we originally planned. It was just a couple guys that wanted to go out and talk about fishing. So we will get back to you when you email us. We do have full-time jobs, but we love doing this. So keep sending them in, alleyesonfishing@gmail.com.
Yep. Thanks for all the orders. You guys are awesome. Clothing orders, you know, they roll in one every week or two. And that's awesome. We do everything to – you know, made to order, especially for what you guys put in. So, you know, we love doing that too. We love getting out the image of All Eyes on Fishing.
Get out there and fish tournaments next year, guys. It's worth it.
Do it.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube, or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.